No, just do it. Let us hear it. Do it for the pod. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Now that is an A+ off season.
And that's it for the Wizards. All right.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Full Court Mess, the hottest podcast, the hottest takes, hottest boys, hottest mics, hottest basketball. I'm Jared, your local heartbroken Warriors boy.
I am Joe, and I will be following Malcolm Brogdon from team to team, rooting for the team he is on from now on. Just kidding.
I'm Will. I, hand to God, don't even really know what I am at this point. But Theo Pinson got re-signed last night, so we'll go with the Nets fan.
A big hell yeah. Woo! For Will.
Two-year deal for my boy.
And we got Adam back.
Yep, I am a Grant Williams fan now. Okay. Marcus Smart, Grant Williams is where my allegiance lies.
Grant Williams insider.
Dynamic duo.
Unfair to give one team all that beef.
Grant and Yabu on the court at the same time is just going to... no wonder there's been earthquakes around the nation. And that was your current events mention of the week, folks. We did it.
I love, for anyone who hasn't been watching Summer League, in Grant Williams' first game, he legit was just tackling players.
he knocked four guys to the floor.
He was like tagging on pick and rolls, but when he would do it, he would just hit him with like both forearms in the chest, and the guy would go. I thought he had a vendetta against this one player at one point, but it's awesome. He's already awesome.
It was the earthquakes.
Yeah. Yabu, on the other hand, who is a third-year NBA player, has consistently been, like, the worst guy on a summer league court, so that's kind of sad.
I saw a tweet from either yesterday or day before, and we're going to get into the Celtics summer league team because I really want to, but all it said was, during the game, Yabu is stuck under a table.
he did dive into the cameraman at one point, and like someone is lucky to be alive, I'm sure.
Oh, in my head, he's still my perfect boy because I'm imagining his bodacious ass just keeping it under the table and smiling through it as everyone else played on around him. All right, we're gonna take a brief turn here, hit our enlightenment take real quick.
Was that not the enlightenment take? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that was just my take.
Okay.
Our enlightenment take is in less in the positive direction, and we're gonna come to we're gonna stay around Boston, but to a normally reasonable man, Jared Weiss, who upon hearing the news that Marcus Morris has, I think. I don't know if he's officially done it or not, but reneged on his deal with the Spurs to go sign with the Knicks now that they have more cap space. He said, I said this when DeAndre Jordan backed out of his Dallas deal, but the NBA should suspend players one season if they unilaterally break a formal agreement to sign with another team without a material change in circumstance. It can erode confidence in the transaction market.
I don't even know what, I mean, that's a bad take, but I don't even know what that means, really. Because, teams aren't going to be afraid to, like, offer guys contract because you literally have to do that to acquire players. Like,
if you're really that upset about this, there's a really simple solution. Don't have this, like, 7-day period where guys can agree to contracts but can't sign them.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure Morris might have agreed to it after the moratorium ended too, but
I also, that's the other thing that's getting me is the formal agreement. I don't think it's a formal agreement until you sign the contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not done until it's done.
There's a reason that the GMs don't get to talk about these things until they're done, and that Woj phrases the tweets like plan to sign a deal with and all that stuff. But yeah, he told them to sign. It's rare, it's weird, but it's far weirder to suspend Marcus Morris for a year.
Hey, when you erode confidence and trust, you deserve to have your job rescinded from you for 1 year without pay.
There is nothing more important than the confidence we all have in the transaction market.
Yes, we must protect the teams and not the players.
I also saw someone else who was a Spurs writer say that the NBA needs to step in on this one. Because the Spurs traded Davis Bertans to the Wizards essentially so they could sign Marcus Morris as well as Damari Carroll. And I don't know if he means the NBA needs to force Morris to sign with the Spurs or if the NBA needs to force the Wizards to just give Davis Bertans back. But both of those are objectively hilarious opinions to have.
And yet somehow like the Wizards being forced to give back like a half decent player they got in a trade after all of this is the most realistic outcome.
I can easily see it coming. Ernie Grunfeld is chomping at the bit to get rehired and trade back to the Wizards with a first round pick attached.
People
also, I really
want to
keep
waiting
for them, so I'm biased.
So will the league step in?
No. I'm going to believe that the league doesn't really give a shit about what Marcus Morris does.
We have breaking news right now from Shams.
What is it?
Sources. The NBA Board of Governors, remember it's the governors now, passed the implementation of in-game challenge flags for head coaches for the 2019-2020 season.
Boo!
Not a fan?
I want zero replay in any sport, really, but especially the NBA.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
The perfect image of replay in professional basketball is that stupid one they did at the end of the finals when the game was already decided that lasted like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Where it just killed the moment and accomplished nothing.
Was anybody watching the Summer League game? It was Wizards-Nets last night, where the last 2 minutes of a Summer League game took like 15 to 20 minutes because there were like multiple replays of like goaltends and like ridiculous fouls.
Celtics fans were legit causing a riot on my timeline during that. I didn't even know what was happening. I just kept seeing, would someone get these stupid two fucking teams off the floor?
The Celtics game started 45 minutes late. Like, which, it's that can't even be because of the game itself. That just seems like terrible scheduling more than anything. But
a Summer League game taking too long is one of the greatest crimes against humanity that can happen.
It's like that earthquake has delayed games so much. Like, that one game being postponed has pushed everything back 45 minutes still.
It's like it's a bar league where it's like, yeah, we have 1 hour time slots for these games. They go over, I don't know, whatever we're going to do. We play till we hit the 1 hour mark and then next basket wins. I don't know.
And I will just continue. I know I rail on it all the time, but I'll continue to rail against this stupid trend of the offensive player is holding the ball, the defensive player smacks it out of bounds, and then they review it, and they're like, oh, it grazed the offensive player's fingers last. So
yeah, it's off the defense. Just give it to the offense.
It's off of them. It automatically touches his fingers last because he was holding it. That's how possession works.
Yep. But he wasn't just throwing it out of bounds. The other player was hitting it out of bounds.
This is ridiculous at this point. It's not even like it's just in random moments. It happened in like the college basketball national championship game. It happened in a key moment in the finals. It's so annoying.
Okay, but Justice Winslow's finger did touch that ball.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, sorry. If I did it like, then it would be totally fine.
I mean, I like the idea of the challenge, but we already have the problem with games feeling really slow from bad replays, so I don't see this speeding up the game at all, which is, like, I thought that was going to be the effort.
Yeah, and forward. I think it works in football where there's, like, a stoppage of play after every play. And, like, I get that this can take away a timeout if you're wrong, but I don't, like, you can kind of just, like, kill the momentum with it, too, even right. if, like, you risk losing the timeout.
Yeah, and, like, especially on the first point, like, basketball is a sport that's predicated on, like, the flow of the game. So it's gross when these sorts of things happen. Like, it kills one of the most aesthetically pleasing parts of the sport. Think about all the dumb things it's going to get used on. Every time it gets used, it's going to be like one of those plays where a player fouls another guy, but the ball goes out of bounds, so they just give it, instead of calling the foul, they just give it to the team that got fouled. And then you get to challenge it, and all of a sudden they can't rule it was suddenly a foul, so you just get the ball on some bullshit play.
Yeah.
It's so against, like, the spirit of the game. I can't wait until, like, the instant replay fad is over.
Jason Kidd loves this, though.
Oh, that's another scathing
scathing review.
Yeah, scathing review of this idea.
I can't wait for some coach to literally throw a flag onto the court and a star player slips on it and tears their ACL. And then they're like, maybe the NFL style of throwing a flag on the court was a bad idea.
I want him to, like, throw a flag, and then, like, a second later, like, Steph Curry's mouthpiece flies out and hits him in the face. How do you like it when people throw shit at you? It's a small court. He's going to hit somebody with the damn flag.
All right.
Players are going to have to wear helmets and face masks now to keep the flag out from their vision.
Here's what you can throw a flag for, according to Woj. Let's see. Sources, besides proving coaches challenge, Board of Governors approved replay center ability. Okay, maybe this didn't challenge, but in addition to game refs to trigger instant replay, approved circumstances include whether it's a 2 or 3 point field goal, if a shot was made prior or after the shot clock expired. Among the allowable coaching challenges starting next season, a personal foul charge to coach's team, a called out of bounds violation, and goaltending and basket interference violations.
Yeah,
they can challenge a foul?
I guess.
A personal foul. They can challenge a foul getting called.
Nothing works better than challenging things that were judgment calls to begin with.
I'm kind of confused by the reviewing 2 or 3 point shots, because, like, in the middle of games, like, without that being reviewed, I've seen them just change that to be like, oh, this shot was actually a two. Yeah. So, like, what is the point of challenging that on the spot?
Yeah, you don't need that.
Those are actually handled well. The ref, like, raises his hand and says, at the next commercial break, remember that shot and we'll double check it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you don't need to worry about that.
And they look at it. It's great. There's, like, one time a year where one of those doesn't get marked down, where somebody's like, ooh, I thought that was close. They should have looked at that, and they don't. And I'm sure that's why they instituted it. But this is legit just making their product worse to me. It's so strange.
But, I mean, I don't see that being, like, used as a challenge.
Oh, I fully believe that Scott Brooks will use every one of his challenges that he gets.
Well,
okay. It did get used for a goaltending or an offensive goaltending call in the first Celtics Summer League game. And somebody tweeted that, like, after the call was reversed, someone on the Celtics bench was heard yelling, sorry ass refs. So it was definitely Robert Williams, but.
Oh, yeah.
Sources.
The only thing that's not true is that, like, Robert Williams did not know what was happening at the game at the time. Bear with me, actually. It was Yabu, and he was apologizing to the ass refs who had given him a citation for having too large an ass.
Sorry, ass refs.
That's on me. Look under this table.
Please help me out. I think the only team that I can think of that loves these new in-game challenge rules would be the Houston Rockets and their audit.
Yeah. A live audit. What more could you ask for?
This is the future.
They're throwing a red flag at the NBA Awards when Giannis wins MVP again. Yeah, we disagree. Replay the season.
They're going to be the only team that tries to use, like, 15 of them in a game. The refs are just like, if you keep going, we're going to take your one away.
All right, so we last episode covered our predictions for free agency start.
Ironclad.
We were right about everything.
Yep.
Please don't listen to the previous episode.
But if you do...
Just trust us. Do not erode our confidence and trust. And just listen to what we're saying.
Yes, but if you do, give us 5 stars. Thank you.
Please. Please.
So, thank you. A lot has happened since then that we were right about. So we will go over some team-by-team moves just to show how right we were about everything. So we'll work our way through the East first, and then we'll go to the West. We'll start with the Atlanta Hawks. I'm learning this right now that they got Parsons.
Chandler Parsons, yes.
I believe this means of the really big contracts given out in 2016, the only ones still on the original team are Jan Mahimi and Nick Batum.
Wow.
Too big to move.
I think that's it. So, kudos to the stability of the organizations in Washington and Charlotte.
Evan Turner just got moved to the Hawks also, so he was on that list.
Yes, yes.
But he just got moved to the Hawks. Who did he get traded for? Oh, Kent Bazemore, straight up.
Yep.
It's the 2016 deals. They're moving, baby. They're expiring is what they are. I guess, wait.
Evan Turner is excited about Waffle House.
Gorgui Dieng would be the other one, I think.
Ah, I think so, yes. And another one too large to move.
I guess that's all we got for the Hawks.
That's all they deserve.
On to the Celtics. We totally predicted this. We totally knew this was going to happen. Completely, 100%. Kemba Walker agrees to a 4-year max deal with the Celtics.
I thought you were referring to how much we predicted that the Celtics would bring back Wanamaker.
Yeah, that too.
Which we covered extensively on the last pod.
Yes.
And Tice.
We predicted to a T that Charlotte would lowball Kemba Walker by almost $100 million. Yes, so... Again, so, please do not listen back. Thank you.
Adam, you have successfully replaced Terry Rozier and Kyrie Irving with Kemba Walker. How excited are you?
I mean, this is easily the best case scenario for like what could have happened for losing Kyrie. And Terry Rozier is gone, so that's awesome.
Celtics truly cannot lose this summer.
Yeah, I mean, well, we lost Horford and Baines, and those hurt. But Kyrie is—he was going to leave, so we made the best of that at least, and we did good in the draft. I think so. I'm pretty happy.
I think you guys had a great draft. Yeah. Enes Kanter, thoughts?
I don't know why we needed to give him a player option for year two. That seems weird.
It's a pretty cheap deal. What was it, 2 years, $10 million?
Yeah, it's not like a ton. It's like a salary we can trade to, maybe. So,
some sure. Very strange player options getting handed out recently. Like Jabari Parker getting one in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Another guy just got one. I feel like it was in the West, but I don't remember where. But I'm not sure, again, who these guys are bidding against. But the Kanter one is funny. How do you feel about Kanter taking Kyrie's number?
That is actually, like, when he tweeted that out, like, a picture of himself in 11, like, minutes after the news broke, that was actually hilarious. So
he's that guy, and it's awesome. That's why I've always loved Enes Kanter.
He also, like, quote tweeted Nick Wright making fun of his new hairpiece after Nick Wright said something like signing Kanter was a disaster and all that about the summer. So he's already like kind of endeared himself to the fans that didn't really want him. But
I think he'll bring some fun at least.
Yeah, this whole team is going to be fun. Like, I don't think there's anyone on this team I will not like. Maybe Brad Wanamaker is just like a huge asshole and that'll come out this year. But I find that hard to believe. And
Brad Wanamaker can become your new Abdel Nader.
Brad Wanamaker is, like, okay, I think.
Which instantly makes him better than Abdel Nader. So what are, with the moves, what are you I don't know. You're expecting to have fun, but what are you expecting from the team this year?
I have no idea. I mean, I think they'll make the playoffs, but it could be anywhere from like 3 to 7, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Grant and Carson, like, I mean, not to take too much from Summer League, but also from how they played, the kind of players they were beforehand, they kind of look ready to contribute now.
Yeah, I think they can step in. The thing is, like, our whole elite team was based around the elite defense in the past few years, and that was as great as Smart is being first team all defense. Like, that was all around Horford and also Baines, like, more than people think. So yeah. Losing both of those, like, we need to completely change our identity, I think. And then Hayward is still such a question mark. So I have no idea what to expect as far as wins. I'll say like 47. Like, I don't think we'll be that much worse in the win column than last year, because I think we like clearly underachieved last year with the talent.
No kidding.
So I don't think it's like we lost like 10 wins in Kyrie and Horford from that team. I think we were not as good as we should have been. So,
I mean, like, a culture change is probably harder to predict than just like straight up talent changes, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, no, well, so people definitely knew the concerns were there last year, but no one predicted it would be that bad.
Right.
So
it's kind of interesting when, like, you got rid of what are probably the two biggest issues, and you also lost who were probably like the two biggest adults in the room.
Yeah, maybe. Sounds about right.
I don't really know what to expect. That's just kind of interesting. I did forget that Gordon Hayward was on the team until you.
I was about to say, I forgot he was a player in the league.
I have also, like, periodically this summer, like, I'm getting excited about the young guys and Kemba, and then I'll be like, oh, we have to give Gordon Hayward minutes, or, like, he's probably going to start again.
Oh, gross. I've also seen you're having some extreme worry. Maybe that's a little harsh, but some worry based off of some contracts around the league of what Jaylen Brown is going to be given when he gets his extension.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he'll get an extension because the Celtics don't do that. So I think he'll just go to restricted free agency more likely. But
what did Jamal Murray just get? Like
5-170.
Yeah, 5-170.
Man, and I mean,
that's like the same thing that he would get if he gets offered the max. And I don't think he's worth that. But I think like some team is going to be like, he scored what, 18 points in the playoffs as a 20-year-old, and some team's going to be like, okay, well, we missed out on everyone else. We're not going to get a real star right now. Let's hope that Jaylen Brown can become that star.
And so, it's a weak free agency class year next year.
Yeah,
right?
Next year I'm pretty sure sucks.
Well, could be some scary stuff. I assume, and this isn't meant to mean you dislike Jaylen anyway. I think we all agree he's pretty great. But if some team offers him that massive deal, you will be wishing him well moving forward. You personally, I don't know what Danny Ainge is going to do.
I would not want to pay him that much. I mean, I guess we're probably going to be capped out for a while anyways, I would think. But
I mean, got to get Time Lord his max soon.
Exactly. Grant is going to deserve a max in no time. Now, I've been stirring up people in Celtics Twitter by trying to trade him for Miles Turner. So,
oh, what a it is so wonderful having the two of us back full time on Miles Turner Mountain. It really brings me back to the old days.
Well, the old days are still today now.
They are. We're back. Nothing made me happier when I realized I could start saying that I thought Miles Turner was better than Chris Stapps Porzingis again.
Keep saying it. Say it louder, in fact.
I'll scream it from the mountains, man.
let's go over to Brooklyn.
They didn't do anything, did they?
They signed Wilson Chandler.
Chandler, and they lost Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
and that's about it.
I will. HP Basketball had a fascinating tweet today. I know at least Adam saw, where he listed every player from the Nets last year who had, what was it, like a positive on-off rating and played at least 500 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And there were like 8 of them. They're all gone.
That was pretty incredible.
Every single player who was like a net positive for the Nets last year in any sort of volume, so that excludes like Caris LeVert, is gone.
Wow.
Yeah, but I mean, I think even Caris LeVert played enough minutes to.
Did he? Wow.
It was only 500 minutes. That would. How many games did he play? I don't know. Maybe not.
I mean, he missed.
So it only excludes their best player, Theo Vincent, and then the rest are there. But yeah, so like legit every net positive from the Nets last year, no pun intended, is now on a different team.
Oh, that was intended. That was absolutely intended.
Which I just think is fascinating. There's obviously a ton of talk around him, and it's not like you don't go sign Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. But especially for next year when they don't even have Kevin Durant, I don't really know what to expect for this team outside of like maybe like the sixth seed.
I mean, they still got LeVert healthy-ish, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he was looking good by the time the playoffs were ending.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing too is keeping Jared Allen and also signing DeAndre Jordan.
So strange.
I don't know how they're gonna work with that rotation.
Like,
I love them both, but
here's my here's the one I've been wondering on a little bit recently. And imagine like Bill Simmons' voice, gun to your head.
Mm-hmm.
who do you think is going to finish with a better record next year, the Kyrie Irving Nets or the Jimmy Butler Heat?
I think I would take the Heat, honestly.
I think I would, too.
Unless, I don't know. We'll see what happens with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, as they currently stand would be, I guess, the caveat.
But I'd take the Nets, I think.
Gun to my head. Gun to my head.
Which there is right now, for those who aren't.
My best voice for that.
We usually do this.
Doing my best voice. Gun to my head, I pick the Nets.
Yeah, what's the Nets starting lineup? They got Kyrie, Caris LeVert, Joe Harris,
DeAndre Jordan.
I don't know if DeAndre Jordan starts.
I think he's going to start.
I believe he will. I like to think at least they'll give Allen like more minutes, but I bet he's. I mean, they gave him like $10 million a year, and they got him to be friends with the other two vets they signed.
I think they gave him 3 years, $40 million.
Oh my
so
god!
I think it's like,
I thought it was 440, but maybe not.
But either way,
that was 340. But anyway, yeah. I guess I haven't watched. I didn't see him in New York at all last year, so I don't.
Well, nobody did.
Dallas before that.
No,
so I don't know if he's still like starter caliber. If he's just like,
I don't want him to start. I think Allen is better. I just think they're going to.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah, I mean, Allen still
starts at the four.
Good minutes.
Who is their power forward right now?
It was Hollis Jefferson.
Is it going to be like Wilson Chandler or something?
It might be Chandler, yeah.
I
don't know.
But yeah, Allen's still going to get
Spencer Dinwiddie. He'll start at the four.
Oh, baby. I wonder if Spencer's going to want out at some point. I'm just curious. He's going to. It's going to be a huge reduction in role for him.
He just signed an extension midway last year, too. Like right around when Eric Bledsoe did.
Yeah. I'm just
and it's not much. It's like 3 years, $39 million or something, I seem to remember.
He's been a great follow on Twitter always, but especially once they signed Kyrie and Kevin. So I am curious what always goes through like their guys like him's heads when this stuff happens, because it's like, hey, yeah, we're the upstart team, we're really coming together, and then it's all of a sudden like, yo, two superstars are here now, half of y'all are gone, and this is our team. But either way, I guess my point on the Nets is I definitely don't expect much next year. I hope Kevin Durant comes back and is still Kevin Durant, and then a year from now they're a contender. But I'm definitely not high on them for 2019.
You can't place your expectations too high right now. Could be fun. They still could be fun this year, but
and they
great,
absolutely
maybe not.
It's a cool moment in Brooklyn. Regardless, they just became the marquee team in their city.
So we'll see. I'll be watching. I think it's still exciting.
Oh yeah, for sure.
What else we got? Also, Kevin Durant definitely walking in LeBron's footsteps of announcing he's signing with the team before talking to that team.
Oh yeah, he informed the Nets via Instagram before he spoke to anyone that he would be signing with them.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which, I didn't see that.
I have no clue how that works. I just saw it reported like maybe an hour or 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's like it's news as of like today.
Imagine being like the social media manager for the Nets. And
did he just DM the official Nets account or what? But incredible there.
Because wasn't it like the GM who said he found out like with the rest of the team at the same time?
Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, it's a power move. You gotta respect that.
Also, what was it? He decided, and it like came out as Steph Curry was on a plane to New York.
Yeah,
yeah, and he must have known that was happening. There's no way that was like a surprise meeting with Steph Curry.
Yeah, and that's Curry flying all the way from like Shanghai.
Yeah, yeah, he was across the world. So, kept. At what's Kevin's Twitter bio? I'm me, I do me, and I chill.
Yeah.
So, he's him, and he's doing him.
Nets also got Garrett Temple.
I love that.
That's good.
I love Garrett. One of the best dudes in the league. I'm so happy he's become a solid NBA player.
You just like him because he looks like Otto Porter. And they both look like Wilt Chamberlain.
And Lionel Richie.
Charlotte Hornets.
Wow.
The guardian angel of the Boston Celtics.
From what I heard from their general manager, they got somebody who should be considered a lottery pick in the most recent draft.
That was such a ridiculous quote.
All right. So I want to poll because I had how I interpreted it. When you guys saw Mitch Kupchak say, we feel as though Terry Rozier would have been a lottery pick in this draft, did you think he meant Terry Rozier when he was drafted, like 16th overall? Or do you think he meant Terry Rozier right now would be a lottery pick after he's been in the league for like 4 or 5 years?
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now. Yeah, he definitely meant right now. He better be.
Yeah,
he might not be. Honestly, like,
honestly,
who was the last lottery pick this year?
Romeo Langford.
Romeo Langford. Is Terry Rozier better than Romeo Langford right now?
If you had the option between 19-year-old Romeo Langford and 24 or 5-year-old Terry Rozier, I don't think you would take Rozier.
Also, you're never paying your lottery pick $20 million.
$20 million. Also, you don't usually get rid of your best player so you can draft someone.
Yeah, so yeah. Hornets,
Hornets. So A plus for them, on to the next team.
All right. A plus for them to keep helping the Celtics from fucking up.
Man, Hornets really. Well, you said this like 2 weeks ago, like last episode, Will, I think that you thought the Hornets had like a big chance of moving.
Yeah, yeah.
Being like the failure team.
Yeah, I still think that.
I think after what we've heard the last couple of
weeks. This is our North Carolina insider over here, too.
I think what we've heard the last few weeks, I'm even more in on that.
They're so goddamn irrelevant. And Jordan is like just like a money grabber. I just saw something recently where it was a. He charges like Charlotte businesses money if they want to like appear at team events or something. It was something ridiculous. Where it was like, if you want to be like even like around or in the periphery, you need to be paying the Hornets. So I could very easily see that team ending up somewhere.
With him selling it?
Maybe, I don't know. He probably likes owning it and it's still, you make a lot of money being an NBA owner because the teams keep getting more valuable. Right. But I can just see it being somewhere else. Like there's, at some point they're going to become the Bobcats again. And it's going to be like such a toxic brand that they're going to have to change again.
I just can't believe they lowballed Kemba that much.
That's so absurd.
After he said, he said he would take less than the super, and they said, how about we don't even give you a max?
Yeah, at first I was like, maybe they waited so long to see if he made an all-NBA team, to see if he could get a super max or not. Because maybe they're hoping that he wouldn't make one, and then they didn't have to give him super max. But they didn't even want to give him the max, so trade him, morons.
Well, it's entertaining to me.
It's a shame those jerseys are wasted on that team.
In that nice court. I like their court.
It's also a shame that I really like the last three guys they've drafted. I enjoy Malik Monk. I don't know how good it'd be, but I like him. And I think Miles Bridges and PJ Washington are really solid picks.
Right.
But they better hope for those second contracts somewhere other than Charlotte.
Well, maybe they should move.
Maybe.
Seattle? Yes, please. Next we have everybody's favorite Chicago Bulls.
No splashy moves. They signed Thad Young. They signed Satoransky to respectable deals.
Yep.
They drafted Kobe White, which we're excited about.
Yep.
He's so fun. I did not watch 1 second of him in college, and I've watched just highlight reels now, and he's the best.
Let me tell you, he was exactly like he is now.
So we can already call him a podcast son.
He'll be a son of mine when the new Suns rosters are updated.
There's enough love coming from me that he would be a podcast son.
I'm down. I'm in.
But I think a quietly good offseason for the Bulls.
They put together a good team. A fun team. A team I would watch play basketball.
Yes. I think a fun, mediocre team is probably what they have on their hands. But they're kind of going the Nets route of gradually becoming more respectable until it's time to really contend. I don't know if they've got the vision to get there, but a pretty good offseason on that front.
They still have Jim Boylan as the coach, which is very upsetting.
Yeah.
The biggest problem with going the Nets route is that they still have a bad coach and probably really awful front office, which the Nets did the opposite of that, and it came in handy for them.
I mean, Boylan being there still makes it fun because there's drama to watch. So, I'll take that.
I don't want his grubby little hands all over Kobe White and Wendell Carter Jr. any more than they have to be.
Trade him.
I can't believe whoever decided to let Captain Underpants run an NBA team.
Cleveland Cavaliers, according to this NBA offseason tracker, no reported transactions.
On brand.
Good. Stay out of the news.
I mean, I feel like they're going to trade Kevin Love or something, right?
He's at the point where he'll probably just do whatever he wants.
Yeah. And they're still probably going to waive J.R. Smith or something at some point, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although maybe
he was just in a celebrity softball game. He's looking trim. He's looking fit.
Did everyone see after he stole home his botched Heaven's Gate?
Yeah,
he fell right over.
It was awesome. It made me so happy.
I thought he was going to pull a hammy doing it, which would have been even better.
All-time best NBA celebrations ever, and he went into it after stealing home and accidentally went into a split and slowly fell over to the side.
Whomst among us? Detroit Pistons.
D Rose is the main one that they signed.
So Pistons lose. F-.
Interesting backup to Reggie Jackson plan.
Yeah.
I'm just now learning they got Markieff Morris.
Yeah, I'm just they now did. Learning this too.
So that's fine. I guess the Pistons have decided they always need a Morris on their roster.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do anything else?
They got Tim Frazier.
Yep.
So no? So
there's one there's one super short point guard the Wizards didn't get.
Right, Indiana Pacers. Pacers add Brogdon. gave him the money.
They gave him the bag. They paid a hefty price. It's a 4-year, $85 million deal, fully guaranteed. And they gave the Bucks a first-round pick and 2 second-round picks for him.
I kind of want to know more about that deal, like if other teams were bidding on Brogdon or if the Bucks were like, we're just going to match if you don't give us this much. Like,
yeah. So on the jump, Brian Windhorst was talking about this. And I mean, I don't know how reliable Windhorst is, but he seems pretty reliable. And he was saying how like days before the like moratorium opened, or maybe like, I don't know what you can say, the second the moratorium opened or whatever, they called the Bucks and said, hey, this is what we're going to offer. Can we make this happen? Like basically saying like, are you going to match this? What's going to happen? And it was kind of a in good faith sort of negotiation of like, well, we know this is, you know, not something you're going to match. So we'll throw you a bone kind of thing. Basically Windhorst was saying like the owner of the Pacers, Kevin Pritchard, I think his name is like an old school guy who like doesn't want any bad blood across the league. And so he like acted in good faith to get Brogdon, which
I like that.
Seems abnormal nowadays, but I mean, good for the Bucks to get something back for Brogdon.
That's way too much to give up just to get it in good faith.
Right. And maybe the Bucks were like, we're going to match this unless you give us something. Maybe that's what really happened. Because there was a lot of signing and trading this year, more than I ever heard of.
Yeah. I mean, like the...
I don't know if teams just use that as like a bargaining chip every time. We're like, well, you can sign him, but you got to give us something. Like, I don't really understand how, if they're not a restricted free agent, how you can like negotiate that.
Yeah.
Because with a restricted, you can be like, well, we're just going to match. So you got to incentivize us a little bit here. But if they're unrestricted, why? Okay, we'll organize a trade here. Why do that?
Yeah, I mean, like, I get it when it's like you're helping this guy get more money in good faith, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that definitely wasn't the case for a lot of these.
It makes sense sometimes, though, like in like a Philly scenario, like, Jimmy hits you up and is basically like, I'm leaving, so peace. I want to go to this team that can't afford it. Wouldn't you rather get something and help me go?
Yeah, that makes sense.
But there definitely have been some unnecessary ones where there's actually been like what feels like an uptick in guys trying to like negotiate in good faith. And it's weird because it's kind of cool. And then you sit back and go like, well, you also hurt your team.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird how it feels weird, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, teams getting along? No, that's not right.
But like, if I was a Pacers fan and I learned that we had given up a first and 2 seconds for no reason, I'd be furious. Also, they got Jeremy Lamb on a very reasonable deal.
Yeah, they did.
So that was solid.
McConnell?
They got TJ McConnell, which they also acquired TJ Warren earlier in the year, which brings their TJ total to 3 on their team.
So and I'm pretty sure I saw somewhere that those were the only 3 TJs to ever play in the NBA. It was amazing. That was like 3 of 4. So
truly where amazing happens.
The NBA, where TJ happens.
TJ Ford.
Okay.
Oh, okay, yep.
The Pacers have 3 TJs. The Bucks have 2 sets of brothers on their team.
Yep.
They do. They just need to sign Shannon Brown to make it 3.
Then just go ahead and trade for both Morrises. Morai.
We're almost to the Bucks. We have the Heat, who got Jimmy Butler. No longer have Whiteside.
And Myers Leonard.
Yeah, Leonard. Leonard for Whiteside, pretty much.
Yeah, Butler. They got Butler and Leonard in the same kind of 4-team trade, it looks like. But, yeah.
Not bad.
They sent off Whiteside, and they got Jimmy and Myers.
Good move. And then they're interested in trading for Westbrook, which we'll get to.
I think we'll have to talk about that.
I think those are good moves.
Seems perfect for Jimmy. Like,
yeah.
A team that's, like, predicated on extremely good fitness.
Yeah, yeah.
Spoelstra is going to be running through my head real quick. The best coach he's ever had, I believe. So they still are in that spot where they don't really have anyone who can shoot on the team, I don't think. But it should work.
They traded away Josh Richardson.
They should probably be a little bit better version of what they've been for the past couple of years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Passable, I guess.
Jimmy is going to somehow get even better abs down in Miami.
Somehow Leonard is their best shooter.
We're not ready.
He's going to bless us with those crop tops.
So, Bucks, re-sign Middleton. Re-sign Brook Lopez. Swoop on Robin Lopez.
That was a good signing.
I think, let's see, they got Hill back. And then I think this is a really good signing, was getting Matthews.
Yeah, Wesley Matthews. Go ahead, Adam.
I was going to say, they didn't pay much for him either, did they?
I don't think
2-year deal at the minimum.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
That's very good.
I'm excited about that.
I think that's a great signing.
He might legitimately start. Like, it depends on if you want to start George Hill or Wes Matthews or, like, Sterling Brown or whoever at that two-guard kind of spot. But, I was thinking about the, like, lineups, like the two-deep lineups. It goes probably Bledsoe, we'll say Matthews, Middleton, Giannis, Brook, and then you've got backing up George Hill, maybe DiVincenzo, Sterling Brown, Ersan or DJ Wilson, and then Robin Lopez. Pretty respectable second line, I would say.
I was about to say, I better see more DJ Wilson this year. I still haven't really forgiven Bud.
Yeah, I hope so too. I would love to see him and DiVincenzo a whole lot, barring health concerns.
Also at the forefront of the short shorts revolution. So
Yes.
We love those
lanky smooth on Instagram.
Oh, I know. We love those lanky boys.
So yeah, Bucks. But yeah, band of brothers.
Sucks to lose Brogdon, but excited about. Oh yeah, we signed Giannis's older brother too for a 2-year deal. I think $3 million over 2 years. Probably pretty close to the minimum.
Late pandering, but
nepotism.
Whatever works, man.
It's going to be fun. The brothers narrative is going to be fun. Losing Brogdon sucks, but at that price, I'm okay with him not remaining on the team.
You got more for him than like teams got for like Jimmy Butler last year.
For sure. Go ahead.
I was reading some guys recently, and they were just saying that they would imagine the Bucks turn around and like flip some of those picks for more help, like this season type thing.
Sure, like how they did with Mirotić.
I'm real curious to see how they add to the team, because there's definitely a couple spots they can get a little stronger.
Yeah, I mean, they have to be in like build now while we have Giannis.
Yeah,
so maybe.
The Bucks need to go all out to win a championship in the next 2 years, at the very least.
We've got kind of a glut of young guys too, like. I mean, DJ Wilson is very well our like 10th or 11th man on the bench. Like, he should be getting minutes. Like, whether he's solid, you know, whether he's good or not, he should be getting minutes to see if he's good. So we just have a lot of guys that we need to play.
Being dudes.
Yeah, and Mirotić just straight up left the league.
He got like. Yeah. $80 million to play in Spain or something crazy.
6 years, $80 million. He got paid.
Yeah. It's awesome. Good for him.
I remember Jared Dudley was arguing with randos after Mirotić left. And he kept going like, my God, why is he leaving? He was going to get a good contract from the Jazz. And all these people kept saying like, maybe being like home is worth that much to him. And all these things. I was like, maybe Barcelona is like really worth living there or something like that. And then the contract details came out, and Jared Dudley made so much fun of all of them. He's like, he left because he got $80 million. That's why. A bunch of idiots. It was awesome.
Yeah, because the initial contract details were like, he's getting like 2 years, $9 million. Like,
yeah, that's, The initial ones made it really weird, but
it was like, oh, I guess he just really wants to win a championship with Barcelona. But because if it would have been that, like a 2-year deal, the Bucks probably would have had a pretty hard time renouncing his rights. But it's a 6-year deal. He ain't coming back. Just renounce him, and then we get $18 million of cap room.
I ain't gonna be here.
Gave him a deal that you legit cannot give in the NBA.
It's awesome. Good for him. Good for Nico.
Yeah. Knicks. Knicks are still the Knicks.
They went with the quantity over quality model.
Julius Randle is a nice pickup, at least.
Yes, I agree.
They got Bobby Portis.
They got fine.
Gibson.
Fine.
They have, but also don't have Reggie Bullock. That's a developing thing. Apparently, he gained 20 pounds this summer.
Oh, no.
Is that what it was? I hadn't seen like the details yet of what.
They had like a 2-year contract worked out, and then today they're like reevaluating it or something because he apparently like failed his physical and gained like 20 pounds over summer. So that's something they're looking at, I guess. And then with the money he was going to get, they like already offering it to the other Morris.
Who had already agreed to a deal with the Spurs.
Yes.
It's a good thing they swooped on Mook because they were short on power forwards.
Yeah.
I thought someone was just saying that Mook's going to start at the 3 for them. That's like the way they've constructed their roster.
What's Kevin Knox going to do?
Hopefully learn how to play basketball. There were so many great tweets after Zion owned him in Summer League. We were just talking about Kevin Knox is going to spend all summer in the gym after that. He's going to be shooting everything long next year. And he's going to be in like the Chinese League in 2024. Jacked his shit saying like, let's see Zion take the ball from me now. That poor guy.
They got Peyton.
Alfred.
They got Ellington.
I saw a Knicks fan graphic of all their signings before Mook.
Mm-hmm.
And me, who, again, I would consider that I, at any given time, know over 400 of the players in the NBA solidly, could not figure out who Elfrid Payton was. I was looking at his picture going, who the hell is this?
He doesn't have the crazy hair in his eyes.
I was so confused. I was like, he looks like knockoff Derrick Rose.
Damn.
The Knicks made a lot of signings that, like, on their own are just perfectly fine signings, but they all play the same position, and they did it after their owner came out and said, like, very adamantly that he knew star free agents were coming because, like, he had already talked to the agents. Yo. So.
And then, he also said they canceled their meeting with Kawhi.
And then they said they were never going to offer Durant the max.
Yeah.
Well, I've figured it out. James Dolan accidentally logged into the Nets Instagram account. Saw Durant say, I'm coming, and was like, he's coming to the Knicks. And then told everybody, but just forgot that he had the passwords to both. I love also that they made all these signings. Like, so they're sitting there and they go, everyone's mocking them for these signings. And then it comes out that every single one of them has a team option after 1 or 2 years. And then all of a sudden, everybody goes, oh, okay. We see that the Knicks are doing this. Is actually really savvy. This is smart. They're going to have none of these on the books. I'm like, what does it matter if these guys are on the books or not? They're just going to sign the next group of these guys in the next big free agency.
Yeah, nothing's going to change.
That's the thing. They can push back their cap space, but if they're just treading water, like they need to become the Nets or become one of these teams that will actually get the players they want.
Like they can't just stay a 17-win team and then Giannis in 2021 just goes, oh, hell yeah, that sounds great. Because all we've seen over the past however many years is that's not going to happen.
I mean, really, if there were any two superstars you had told me would have actually done that, it would have been Kyrie and KD. And now I'm like, okay, no, they're gone. So
dude legit wanted nothing more than to go to New York. It just happened that there was a competent team in New York.
Right. Nobody cares about the whole, like, you can play in Madison Square Garden thing anymore.
It's so, like, does St. John's University. It's not that prestigious of a venue anymore.
So the Knicks have one roster slot left.
you got to think they just convince a superstar to leave his team and force a trade to them.
They're going to Amari Stoudemire and Monte Ellis' workouts.
Unfortunately, so are the Wizards.
So are 12 different teams, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell is up with that.
So the Warriors are out there, too.
I would love for Monte to go to the Warriors and Amari to go to the Knicks. That would be so beautiful.
I do not want Amari.
So that's
I just hope they both end up on the Lakers. So
yeah, that would be even better too.
That would be the best case scenario for us.
The Lakers are absolutely getting Amari. Especially after couldn't they bond over remember Amari was accidentally, I don't know if accidentally, but was super anti-Semitic at one point when he was playing overseas. And then LeBron posted that lyric about Jews controlling everything on his Snapchat.
Oh,
so, they've got a connection already.
Yeah, LeBron did that, the Jewish money rap lyric or whatever.
Yeah.
Perfect fit.
Worked out great.
Especially in L.A. let's see, what else? We got the Magic, not much new, re-signed T. Ross.
To a huge deal.
Yeah, but...
It's like 3 years, $54 million or something.
Well, here's the thing. I like T. Ross, so it's a good signing.
Oh, I like him too. It's great. Good for T. Ross.
Vucevic, max deal.
Yeah.
Aminu, swooping on him.
That was a good signing.
And Carter Williams coming back. Which is whatever.
Former Rookie of the Year, Michael Carter Williams.
I got to say, I hate watching John Hammond run a basketball game.
When I heard Michael Carter Williams was coming back, my initial reaction was he was still in the league to begin with.
Yeah.
John Hammond brought him to Milwaukee, and he still believes in him and is bringing him to Orlando. I love it. You love to see it.
He believes in literally everyone with an above-average wingspan.
When you erode the confidence and trust that a GM can have in a player...
He doesn't give a shit if these guys can play basketball or not. He just drafts for wingspan. He signs for wingspan. It is the most infuriating thing to watch.
Talent is a lot harder to look for, so...
It worked for Giannis and literally no other player he has ever drafted.
I wish he had never gotten to say it worked for Giannis, because now he thinks it works, and I hate watching him run a team. It's how you end up with John Isaac, Mo Bamba, and all these guys on the same team who are the same player.
Who did they drafted someone this year who's long and lanky too, right?
Yes, who did they draft this year? But he did the exact same thing.
It was like another power forward who's really... has a long wingspan. I can't even remember who it was.
God, who did they pick? I can't even find
it. You know, we say this, but joke's going to be on us when they finally go with the form a fucking wall strategy.
Just link arms around the entire court.
Yeah, then they're unstoppable.
Every one of their players weighs like 150 pounds soaking wet. They just walk by them underneath their massive arm. They drafted...
They play Isaiah Thomas and Ish Smith. It's done. It's over for him.
They drafted
dribbling through their legs.
Who I love. The guy
who did they draft?
Chuma Okeke.
Oh, right. Yep. He's great. He was great in college, but he's another lanky four.
He has a torn ACL right now. So definitely not going to be contributing immediately. I think he could be great moving forward, but another, 6'7" with a 7-foot wingspan. So I think he's a great player, but it kills me that he only has one type. I was trying to see if
he sees 6'7" with a 7-foot wingspan and just says, "Oh, he's versatile. he can play 2 through 5."
It is such a shame that they traded Talen Horton Tucker to the Lakers, because it would have been the most Magic pick of all time.
What do we got next?
Jared, yes. Before we move on,
yes,
should we keep this episode to just the Eastern Conference? And then do next episode, do Western Conference, and have a Western Conference representative with us.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll do that.
That's just my thoughts, so we don't have a 2.5-hour episode.
That is a good idea.
I was just going to say, unless it's an Orlando Magic-centric podcast, we probably would have devoted more time to them than anyone else will.
No, that's a good idea, and I will leave this suggestion in so the people listening know. No, we'll cover the West next week because we
no edits have time.
Just wait until we just show up next week and say, oh yeah, and Adam is also the Western Conference correspondent.
It's just me in like using a fake accent.
You're just pretending to prospect for gold.
Western Conference fan.
We don't have that many Western Conference fan friends. We're gonna have to get Bo, Spurs representative. We'll get Shug Knight back in here, Jazz representative.
We can get Donald back in here.
Ooh, the Jazz had a good summer. That'll be a good one.
Yeah,
we know
they
a
did.
Pelicans fan who we just haven't had on here yet.
Right.
Ah, yes. But he has such a crazy schedule. We can't get him in here unless we do like a Sunday.
He does, but I deserve someone else who hates the crap out of their team.
We'll figure something out.
All right.
So
is that enough vague references to people that only we know?
Yeah.
Please edit this out.
No, I will not.
Feel free to DM us and ask who was that reference.
Just a little something for our listeners out there who happen to be some of these people mentioned. All right, Philly. A lot of moves.
A lot of moves here.
Let's start with Horford leaving the Celtics, choosing the Sixers. I did not expect this happening.
We all did. Wait, hold on. We all did.
Well,
yes, 100%.
No. Everyone here said that was going to happen.
Yeah, I definitely said this is going to happen, but I don't expect it.
Expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
It was weird how they said, like, didn't they say that they had essentially decided upon it, like, 2 weeks before the finals even ended?
I don't think it was that. It was at least 2 weeks before, like, free agency started. I don't know if it was that.
Which was almost 2 weeks before the finals started. It's a pretty quick turnaround.
It's wild that, like, the season was, like, I mean, I know they talked to each other, but that's such a big signing and such a radical shift, like, shift of power within a conference and a division for the finals to still be going on, and Horford be like, well, know where I'm going.
And yeah, that was completely kept under wraps. Like, people had, like, been like, oh, maybe Philly's the mystery team, but, like, I don't think anyone even believed that.
Yeah, I mean, by the time they were bringing up Philly as the mystery team, the other possible mystery team was the Boston Celtics, and it was like, you people are just grasping at straws now.
Yeah.
It was really awesome hearing that. Like, it's really funny when everyone's like, I think the Celtics could be the mystery team here.
And then there were, like, people tweeting, like, how would a sign-and-trade work? And then that turned out to be the day where it's like, Terry Rozier has agreed to a sign-and-trade. So everyone was like, uh-oh, here it comes.
Also, this is the most we're signing him just so we don't have to play against him signing since Kevin Durant to the Warriors, right?
Yes.
Yeah, probably. Like,
legit.
As a prominent reason, but not the only reason.
Yeah.
But definitely a reason.
Like, the biggest thing I get out of this is that, like, Boston can't challenge Philly anymore. And my big takeaway from this offseason for me personally is I think somehow simultaneously the Sixers got just a little bit worse and also became the title favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, very emblematic of this signing to me, where I think I'm not really sure how much better he makes the 76ers, but the people who were best at stopping the 76ers now will not be doing so.
Yeah.
There was a lot of talk of him going to the Pelicans just based on him. I think he followed Drew Holiday on Instagram, and like, everyone was like, oh, here it comes. And we're like, this is it. That's where he's going.
Yeah, he followed like J. Rue and like Zion and someone else.
When really he followed like three guys on every team in the league.
Yeah.
And they just picked out these three.
And man, I'm checking it out, and Drew Holiday has some just great vacation pics on his Instagram, so why wouldn't you?
Okay. A worthy follow.
Yeah,
for sure.
He's followed by Russell Westbrook and John Wall. I'm gonna float him a follow. I'm a big fan.
Ooh, you heard it here first.
Yep.
It is time to follow J. Rue. It's time.
He has a what appears to be a advertisement post, but he's doing it like an ad, but he doesn't have a hashtag ad, so I don't know if he was asked to do it. Where he was endorsing his dentist.
Yo.
He's a truant smile. Maybe he just likes his dentist a lot.
That's exactly. The move.
It's so easy to understand why Al Horford followed this man. Listen to the caption with a picture where he's smiling with his dentist. I wake up with a smile. I see my family and I smile. I celebrate a win with a smile. Smiles are important. Thank you at Mid-City Smiles for taking care of mine.
Al Horford, yeah.
Through and through.
So, A plus move of the offseason is following
Al Horford following Drew Holiday, yes, on Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the sort of thing that restores my trust in the transaction market.
Yes. Sixers are keeping Harris.
That's a lot of money.
It is.
Yep, 5 years.
Harris and Chris Middleton win my awards for, I think you're a good player, but that is a crap ton of money.
Jamal Murray, too.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Murray,
he's younger, but
where I think I would have just straight up not given him that contract.
Yeah.
until Tobias Harris stops getting better every year, you pay the man.
Fair. Both of those are like, they're very good pieces on their team. They're all-stars in the East at the least. And I love them as players. The Jamal Murray one is a little bit worse, where I'm like, yo, dog, y'all realize he's not quite that good yet, right?
Right. Like maybe in 2 years we see that, okay, they were onto something, they knew. But right now,
he's really got to develop some more. Half of those playoffs were going like, oh boy, I hope he remembers how to shoot at some point.
And
yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. Like, if you're going to offer the max, just wait until restricted free agency. If you're fine paying that much, then
yeah,
what's
yeah.
the point?
Yeah.
What a strange extension.
I don't know.
That's, like, it's very easy to see why it happened with him, though, because like you can see like general sentiment around Jamal Murray is really high, I think, because mm-hmm. to some extent people still can't believe that like Jokic can be that responsible for how good the team is. And so they see the really, like, he's got a really sexy game. He's got a fun pull-up and stuff like that. And so it's like, oh, yeah, that's the guy. He's really doing this shit. And then all of a sudden he's making $170 million.
What else we got?
Sixers got Josh Richardson in that Jimmy Butler trade,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a good pickup. Josh Richardson's been a trade piece for the Heat for like 3 years that every team has inquired about. Like, well, if you throw in Josh Richardson – and they're like, no. And then they finally get a guy to play Josh Richardson's position that's better. And they're like, oh, okay.
The Sixers are going to have their best lineup is the shortest player is going to be like 6'7" or something. And no one is ever going to score on them again.
They are also never going to score outside of, Al Horford. Al Horford is their best shooter now.
Well,
so.
Tobias Richardson and Horford can all shoot.
Yeah, they're all, yeah. I'm not giving them enough credit.
I don't think they're anyone's elite, which can be an issue. Especially
no, they're respectable. All three of those guys are respectable. Embiid's inconsistent, but respectable.
Mm-hmm.
Simmons is the opposite of that.
Did far too much for how not good he is at shooting.
Yeah.
The thing I get with this team,
Raptors Sixers series, where Marc Gasol couldn't stop biting on pump fakes from the like 60% free throws, 3 point shooter.
The thing I get with the Sixers is, this is a very slow team.
Their bench is very shallow.
This
also.
Is an incredibly slow team.
I'd push back a little bit on the starters, at least. Those are, every one of those dudes is most of them, I don't know about Horford, but they're incredibly fast for like their size.
Yeah.
For their size, yeah, but once you, if you get a small team in there, they're going to get outrun easily.
Like the Wizards?
Especially the Wizards.
Like, I'm still thinking about Ben Simmons and all the different players he was hell for on defense in the playoffs. Like, he locked up D'Angelo Russell. He gave Kawhi a hell of a time when he was guarding him. He spent some time on, like, Kyle Lowry. Like, he'll get out there. You don't want him to guarding, like, a tiny guard all the time or something like that. But
mm-hmm.
when you're that big...
Josh Richardson can just do that all the time now.
Yeah, and... I think Toby and Al Horford aren't that quick, especially. They make up for it by, I think, being incredibly strong. But at least like Embiid and Simmons, I think, are big enough freaks that you can make it work at that size.
Yeah.
I mean, Tobias Harris is the worst defender in their starting lineup, and he's probably like fine. Like, yeah. And the other four are like borderline all defense caliber players, two locks for all defense.
Well, if we're talking about defense, they did also get Kyle O'Quinn.
Hell yes.
Who we all know is an incredibly poor defender.
An incredibly bearded man.
That too.
As I think about it more, to Jared's point, I apologize. I was thinking about it a little incorrectly and thinking about how fast and quick it can be for a size. But it is a very good point. If you're sprinting on that team, as far as we know, Embiid still has pretty shit conditioning. So that definitely, I think, could be an issue. But that's probably an issue for him no matter who his teammates are.
Right. Who else the Sixers? Get Ennis back. Yep,
they kept Mike Scott.
Yep, the most important thing here is getting Raul Neto. So,
I mean, you lose Jimmy Butler, you gain Raul Neto. Still find a way to go up in the hotness charts. Mm-hmm. Way to go, Sixers.
Mm-hmm. Butler for Horford, Neto, and Richardson is just a...
That's quite the upgrade.
A real savvy move there.
Mm-hmm. You lose somebody as hot as Jimmy Butler and manage to get hotter in one offseason, that's how you become a title favorite.
So we're saying this is an A+. At least I'm saying this is an A+ move. Yeah. It's a good,
the
handsome upgrade.
A+ move of free agency. The first one is following Drew Holiday on Instagram.
Yes. Toronto Raptors. There is one whole move listed here.
What's
Raptors add EuroLeague guard Thomas.
Matt Thomas on Alaska High School, baby.
So they added Matt
Thomas. Get that money, Matt.
Added Matt Thomas to the championship team that is otherwise unchanged. Is that it?
I will say, they did retain the most important piece. They actually are the real title favorites because Pat McCaw is back.
Yep.
That's right.
Undefeated.
Never missed an NBA Finals.
Undefeated.
All Pat McCaw does is make
Never lost an NBA Finals. Incredible.
They got also two more years, got...
So go ahead and pencil them in for two more years.
They got Stanley Johnson, right? That's like a
they did.
Move
they
like
sure
that was
did.
Like today, I think.
Some people have called Stanley Johnson Kawhi Light.
Ooh.
Okay.
Those people are all in jail now.
They sure are.
But they still said it.
Hey, you can't take it back. They put it out there.
It's out there.
I think they made a really good pickup. They grabbed Terrence Davis, I think, off of Denver's summer league team. He went undrafted. Mm. But all the draft guys I know are really high on him as a he's a guard. So I'm excited that he gets to go to Toronto at the very least. They very much have the feeling of taking on a few projects and hoping that they can develop some guys.
It worked for Pascal.
Yeah.
No kidding.
So.
How good? That's a fun question. You've still got Kyle Lowry. You've still got Pascal. You've still got Marc Gasol. How good are the Toronto Raptors next season?
I think
they're the third best team in the East.
Yeah, okay. I think I'm there. I think they're good enough to still be really annoying to other teams in the playoffs.
I think I'd put them
more in the like 4-6 range.
I want to put them in the 4-5 matchup. But I definitely see it. I mean, especially if Pascal improves anymore, y'all know how I feel about Kyle Lowry. So, but I appreciate the. I think it's a strong take. I think it's a good one.
Yeah, and they could still have some more moves to make. We're still kind of early.
Maybe OG.
They still got Serge, OG, Fred VanVleet, Norman Powell. They've got some solid guys.
Slammed into that sophomore slump next year, and I'm really hoping he gets past it this year.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I think there's still a team to be wary of if you're against them, if you're competing, trying to fight for the playoffs.
Their fans should be wary of them.
This too. But yeah, they did lose Kawhi.
Raptors, do the right thing and sign current free agent Vince Carter in the last year of his playing career. Let him play it out in Toronto, where it all began, where he saved the league, or at least saved the dunk contest.
Yes.
Let him do it. Bring him back.
I'm all in.
One more ride.
That would make your offseason an A plus for me.
But don't give him the farewell tour. He doesn't want it.
He's getting that farewell tour.
He's getting that farewell tour. Yeah, he is.
You can only be so humble.
And that is all of the teams in the Eastern Conference.
Uh-oh. Well, fortunately for Will, you can cover your ears. The Washington Wizards are the last team.
This is really bad, but he said those are all the teams in the Eastern Conference, and I thought to myself, yeah, that's it, isn't it? And then, that was a joke.
If you will all excuse me, I'm going to mute my mic and scream into the void for a little while.
No, just do it. Let us hear it. Do it for the pod.
Ah!
No, that's what I'm talking about. No, that is an A-plus offseason.
And that's it for the Wizards. All right.
I love the block of sound on my recording.
Right, I was looking at that too.
Well, there's I mean, you have to at least be excited about one move, and that is getting Dwight Howard out of there.
Yes, the trades have really been pretty excellent. Dwight Howard for CJ Miles straight up is
that's good,
delightful. Davis Bertans for free is also delightful. We still accept CJ Miles is, I think, the only average or better defender on the entire roster.
He was not good at all last year, was he, though? Did he even? He, like, was out of the rotation, I'm pretty sure.
Delightful. I stand by the best defender on the roster. I won't stand by that he'll be any good. So, those are nice. Getting Thomas Bryant back was really what I cared about. I wanted Sato back, but he didn't want to be back, and so I didn't want that for him. Mm-hmm. But Thomas Bryant on like 328 is very reasonable.
I didn't want him back on this squad for him.
How like any other fan base reacts to a free agent choosing to leave.
I have rooted against my team drafting my favorite UNC player for my entire life because I don't want that to happen to my favorite UNC player.
Well, you don't have to do this.
But Thomas Bryant is cool. I'm psyched he's going to be there. I still think he could possibly be something if he could figure out defense. But he's a fun piece, and he's on a reasonable deal while he's young. Mm-hmm. The team's confusing. They have no clue if they're rebuilding faster going on, as Isaiah Thomas would put it, that slow grind.
Is there any possibility that Bradley Beal gets traded?
I think
in your mind,
as of right now, no. I think once they officially offer and he officially turns down the max extension, then you have to start thinking about it. But right now, they really do not want to, that's fine. I think they're going to offer him like a 3-year max extension, and I don't see any reason for him to say yes to it because he can keep trying to make all NBA teams.
Sure.
He was one spot away last year. So I don't get why we would do it, but provided he does not sign that, then I think you got to start looking. He's a really good dude. He's given every indication that he wants to be in Washington. A ton of that could still just be lip service, which is fine. But as of right now, I don't think they're trying to trade him at all. I think they're also panicked about what that team would look like without him, because with him, I think they're going to be one of the four worst teams in the NBA.
Just get it over with. Agree. Get him out of there.
Doesn't it worry you that your best player is someone who wants to be in Washington? Doesn't that seem like a warning sign or something?
I always ask, the biggest question I always have for myself is, why doesn't it feel like Bradley Beal's production doesn't match his impact? Like, he averaged 25-5-5 last year, which is absurd. On high-level shooting, on being the only offensive threat on his entire team. And it was excellent. He did a great job. He's gotten better every year. He adds something to his game every year. But he very obviously does not have anything resembling superstar-level impact. He's not even a second-tier star, really. I don't think he's more hovering in that, like, 20 to 25th best player in the NBA kind of thing. And it's always been a little strange to me of why he can put up numbers that suggest he's better than he is, and there's not like a drop in efficiency at some point. Like, he does it efficiently. He puts up numbers to suggest he's more than what his actual on-court impact looks like, and I literally think it's that he wants to be a Washington Wizard. If he had the good sense to want out, he would instantly be a top 15 player in the NBA. Like Beal to the Nuggets. That'd be awesome. He fits on almost every single team. He's just not a top guy, which is fine. I love him. I'd be cool with him being a Wizard forever. For my sake, for his, he deserves out. Yeah, that's my Bradley Beal soliloquy.
Well,
it should be kind of fun rooting for Isaiah Thomas. I hope he is healthy and can do a couple of things that are fun, because he already quote tweeted a John Wall workout picture with that slow grind, and it made me instantly happy to have him.
I was about to say, like, with Isaiah Thomas, if he's healthy, that's in like the Isaiah Thomas we saw a couple years ago. That's very nice. And either way, it's very rare for a guy who has owned an entire team to play for them.
I like push back and say that he lost the funeral game. Thank you very much. Which is the only contest against Isaiah Thomas I will be remembering.
All right.
At the same time, also the very enjoyable thing is that the Wizards front office keeps referring to him. They haven't even talked about what he can do on the court yet. They just keep saying they want him to be this, or he will be the sage of the locker room.
What does that mean?
And that's all I can think about with Isaiah Thomas now, is he's now the Wizards sage.
All right. I don't know what that means fully, but...
My guess is neither do the Wizards, but they had to sign somebody.
Okay. That's fair. That's pretty much it, right?
That's Eastern Conference basketball,
that's
maybe.
Eastern Conference basketball. We'll get to the West next week. There was one piece of breaking news during this, and it was that in the West, the Warriors are waiving guard Sean Livingston, who is guaranteed $2 million of his $7.7 million salary for the season. I was going to try and save this for next week, but I will say I'm a little heartbroken this week.
That is that.
So, next week you can have a tribute.
Next week we'll have a tribute for all my sweet Warrior boys who are gone. It's a sad, sad week. I honestly, like, once the Warriors made their first trade, I was like, what's a trade? I'm so used to them not trading ever.
Yeah, they're making moves. They're making moves this offseason.
They have 8 returning players. Actually, I think it's just 7 now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And one of them's out for the year, probably, so.
But you know, just in the spirit of offering continuity statistics that rival that,
mm-hmm.
The Wizards losing to the Celtics in 7 games to Isaiah Thomas is, I believe, what, like 2 full years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
There are, I believe, 3 players left from that Wizards team still on the Wizards.
Wow.
Who's the one besides Wall and Beal?
I believe it's Jan Mahimi.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So in 2 years, 3 players remained. One of them can't move. The other might as well not be able to move. And the other is Bradley Beal. So, Warriors East, I say.
Okay. I'll allow you to say that. Well, our time is running out.
Do we have time to squeeze in Joe's retro?
Yeah, I was about to say, Joe, I believe you have an essay prepared for us.
Yeah. This retro take comes to us from before free agency started. So the take comes from about 2 weeks ago when we were such different people, leading such different lives. Comes to us from our old friend Boss Seltz, the Instagram account. This post features a photoshopped picture of Carl Anthony Towns in a Celtics jersey. And it's a couple paragraphs. I will try to get through. I'll just read through it all and pause when I feel like pausing.
Okay.
Getting a little feedback there. Okay, here we go. Okay, so again, Karl Anthony Towns in a Photoshop number 42 Celtics jersey. First of all. So maybe this guy knew something about Horford leaving than even we did. There are talks of Danny trying to save the offseason with a trade for Karl Anthony Towns. Not sure if that's believable for me. I really don't think Danny's in that mindset, knowing Kyrie/Al leaving opens the door for D'Lo, who's Kyrie's best replacement, and gives us the ability to make a trade that replaces Al now or not too far down the line. I think a deal for Towns would have went down before the draft if he was available. But if the Timberwolves have him on the market, I'd swing for him in a heartbeat. Towns had his name, in a way, tarnished by Jimmy Butler. But I'm positive if you surround him with like-minded players, i.e. Tatum, Brown, and D'Lo, and put him in a winning environment, he'd change everyone's opinion in Boston. It's also been made clear to the Wolves that he wants to play with D'Angelo in Minnesota. Highly doubt we'd have to give up Tatum or Brown in a trade as well. Having Brown, Tatum, D'Lo, and Towns as a young new Big Four before their prime would be the perfect scenario. We all ask, what if we had KG, Rondo, Ray, and Pierce in their prime? Why not learn from that and get these guys together early? To me, it's a match made in heaven. Okay, I will pause there for a moment. Any thoughts?
A lot of thoughts.
I have no thoughts.
My brain is fried.
Two thoughts. He's right.
Just all the way through.
Everything you said, spot on.
The only part, I wish, like, there's so many claims in there. The highly doubt we'd have to give up Tatum or Brown in a trade. What basis do you have for that? Who are you giving up instead?
If we surrounded the talented guys, I just imagine the entire Celtics team staying up late playing video games and eating cheese tacos.
Yeah, he said that and then seemingly just named like four random players.
I don't think Jaylen Brown is that similar to Karl Anthony Towns.
No, not at all.
Jaylen Brown spends his off seasons at Harvard and Towns spends his regular seasons playing Fortnite.
He's just young and good at basketball. Does that make them like-minded?
Yes. No. They okay. also stream their video games.
I do like that he said that D'Lo was the best Kyrie replacement, and the Celtics went out and got a better Kyrie replacement.
Yeah. The very next sentence says, those three and Towns have a lot in common and similar personalities. I think it would work extremely well.
How?
Again, what is this based on?
It is based on delusion.
We haven't even touched on him comparing D'Lo, Brown, Tatum, and Towns to Rondo, Allen, Pearson, Garnett.
In their prime.
He's predicting at least three of those of D'Lo, Brown, Tatum, and Towns become Hall of Famers.
It seems like a good bet.
Yeah. Also, ouch that D'Lo became Rajon Rondo, I think, in there.
That's yeah, that's not a nice thing to say.
Okay, I'll finish up here. Those three and Towns have a lot in common and similar personalities. I think it would work extremely well. Teams forget how important that is. If guys wouldn't hang out or can't relate to each other, they likely won't get along, and it may just be a disaster on the court. That was a huge issue this year. Everyone had completely different beliefs and were nothing alike. Could you imagine Hayward hanging out with Morris or Kyrie? Probably not.
What? What? Hold on. Why? Oh, this man really is from Boston.
Can you even imagine Moose Morris as if I was a fucking honky?
Oh,
guy's two sentences away from being like, Gordon Hayward thinks French fries too spicy.
Gordon Hayward could not hang with the uncensored rap music in the gym.
Gordon Hayward kept singing along to the uncensored rap music.
Oh no.
Imagine Aaron Bane, Al Horford hanging out. I didn't know.
All right. A little bit more to go.
It's more.
Yeah, new thought here. Okay. Putting Towns at power forward adds a ton of length and allows Taco to develop. Taco also wouldn't have to rely on shooting. He could just focus on dominating the rim, like he's familiar with. Towns can shoot and space the floor. The near future is bright with that big five. Who's really stopping us?
Everyone. Yourself.
He included Taco in a big five.
Oh, I wasn't ready for that at all. He said Towns power forward, and I was like, this is a horrendous idea. Who was playing center? And then he just ran in and smacked me in the face with Taco foul, baby.
He said Taco would not have to rely on shooting.
Can you imagine how many points per game that lineup would give up? Like 170 points a game.
Suddenly I'm all in.
Adam, your thoughts?
Sign me up.
I have followed Boss Celts on Twitter officially, so I never miss another update.
Jalen Brown
your retro take.
Pepper crew on the court if that happened. Oh, working hard, switching a pick and roll, and they'd look over to the side, and their three other teammates literally wouldn't be guarding anyone. Not doing a bad job. They'd just be like standing in a circle underneath the rim.
Oh, that.
I'm glad we could squeeze that in.
I need a week to recover from that.
That was incredible. I think I had heartburn from that.
Honestly, like, Boss Celts should be the throwback. Just replace the throwback every fucking week.
I desperately need Boss Celts to come on the pod.
We might have to work something out here. Boss Celts, do not listen to any of our podcast. Come on the pod.
It's like the Eric Andre show. Do not look into what we do. Yeah. Just come on here.
Oh, man. Well, I guess I have two little thinkers.
Two little thinkers for all you stinkers.
Yep. So here's one. This is from ESPN Stats and Info 3 days ago. It's a little different. I just thought it was really funny how they decided to post this. So it says, DeMarcus Cousins and Rajon Rondo were reportedly signed with the Lakers. Okay. It says, Cousins is a year and a half removed from his Achilles tear, but averaged just 8.3 points per game on 43% shooting in the NBA Finals. Okay, not too bad. You know, circumstances, all that. And then under that it says, Rondo had a plus minus of negative 245 last season, ranking 501st out of 530 qualifying players.
Drag him, ESPN.
Cause ass.
So, if you want something absolutely negative to think about, there's Rondo's plus minus.
The Lakers signed these two guys. One put up a valiant effort while rehabbing from a devastating injury.
One just sucks ass. ESPN just says, yo, this guy fucking sucks.
Yeah, according to our black box stat RPM, the dude is fucking garbage.
And then I have this might be kind of depressing one, in a very different way, but I was thinking about this after Jimmer Fredette actually played two games for Warriors Summer League and then left. But I have this tweet from January 26, 2011 from our very own Kevin Durant. Jimmer Fredette is the best scorer in the world.
Wow.
Boy, do things change.
And it's still true.
At least he does not have, as far as I know, does not have a negative 245 in a season.
He doesn't get that many minutes.
I love Jimmer just saying, fuck this, and going back to China. So you know I can score like 45 a game there.
And get paid.
Yeah.
Well, that's the East and a few other things. We'll return with the West. It's very important that with this you remember that we love you.
Thank you very much.